Growing up is mandatory. Growing old is optional. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Growing up is what?
Mandatory.
Growing old is
optional.
Now, why do we say growing old is optional? We say growing old is optional because you don't have to think aged thoughts. You can think young, dynamic, not young, young is the wrong word. You can think fresh, dynamic thoughts that stimulate your mind into action, that stimulate your body into action, that stimulate you into action. Why is it that some of these octogenarians and older are so vital and dynamic? Why is it that our friend Dorothea Zimmerman at 80, what, seven? At 87, is just a bundle of joy, a bundle of knowledge, a bundle of wisdom. She has a bright, charming mind, and she's had enough problems in her lifetime that could have made her not have those, that alertness and that gentleness and everything. But what does she do? She does something that most people want to learn how to do. She just loves herself. She absolutely loves herself. She doesn't think she's better than anybody else. She doesn't think that she's got things that somebody else doesn't have. She just loves everything that she's got. She loves everything that she has. She loves every thought that goes through her mind. She's just a happy, contented, personalized being. Now, how do the rest of us act in our life? Do we think that there are problems out there? Dorothea doesn't even know such a word exists. Do we think that there are mountains to climb? Dorothea doesn't even know such a thing exists. That there's rivers to swim?
Oh, yes.
Does she think that? No, not at all. All that Dorothea thinks is, I'm living in the instant right now. I'm living in the moment now. And I'm enjoying every single second of it. I don't think of aches and pains. I don't think of anything because I don't empower them. I only think about what I'm doing and how I'm doing it and how I love it. And she gets interested in the most outrageous things that are totally unimportant and totally unnecessary, like the story I tell about her little journey that she used to take every morning to her dear friends. Well, now, she's a hypocrite. But she doesn't care. She doesn't care if she's a hypocrite. She says we should all eat healthy foods. We should all eat natural foods. We should all eat foods that are good for us. And never too much bread, never too much sugar, never too much of anything that's not good for us. We should always do things that are good for us. And then the local bakery said that they needed someone to deliver their day-old bakery to the shut-ins and to the elderly. And they had no one. And they said, Dorothea, will you do it? And she said, well, of course, be happy to do you a service. And so for weeks and months and perhaps even years, she was delivering the bakery to the elderly and to the shut-in who didn't need this high of sugared donuts from the bakery. These were the day-old donuts, filled with sweets and filled with that sort of stuff. And she took it to these people. Now, none of these people was ill-affected by the bakery, because she did it with pure love, and she did it with a giving of something she enjoyed. And if any of the people she brought the stuff to wanted to eat more than one or two of them, she'd say, no, just one. That's all I allow, me, myself, because I don't want to get a high on this sort of stuff. And so the people say, oh, Dorothea, Dr. Dorothea, you are so brilliant. You are so wonderful. And they don't know the half of it. They don't know how old she is unless she blabbers about it. But she usually doesn't say too much about it. But she's 87. Fantastic, you know? Now, we have other friends who are that age. And we have older ones, too. And some are equally like Dorothea. And others are going downhill fast. Now, why are they going downhill? Because they don't like themselves. Just that simple. They don't like themselves. You see, The statement we've made here is growing up is mandatory. I mean, the body just grows up and is an adult body. But growing old is optional. Now, why do we say growing old is optional? Because as we are little children, as we are babies, you know, even this one here that's in the National Geographic that's coiled up in the coils of an 11-foot python, and he's just laying there, happy as can be, not concerned in the slightest. You see, he likes himself. And the python knows that, and the python doesn't care. Now, if they had put a fearful little baby there, a yowly baby, an unhappy baby, the python would probably stop him, throttle him, you know. Now, that's not very nice. But you see, a baby that likes himself is always going to come out smelling like a rose. As we grow older, so long as we like ourselves, we're always going to come out smelling like a rose. When we don't like ourselves, people don't want us around. People don't like our company. People don't want to be in our world. Now, what is one of the first things that happen to us as we grow older? Well, we lose our beloved ones. If we've been growing up with our dog, our dog lives 10, 14 years, you know, 18 years at max, and then they die. And so we lose our beloved dog. And we're just in our 60s or 70s, you know. And we've lost that dog. You know, that's something we love. And we think, oh, so sad. Well, what's the thing you must do immediately when you lose a dog or you lose a child? Yeah, you buy a new one.
Buy a new child.
That's right. You go into the place where children are orphans or something, and you say, hey, I want to adopt a child. And they say, you? And they give them a hard time. And perhaps it's best. But when they do adopt it, they have some pretty happy people. They have people who like themselves and people who will like the child. Now, the child grows up and it's told, this is a dog-eat-dog world. You got to really watch out because people are going to try to take you and they're going to try to steal from you. They're going to try to hurt you and stuff. And so the child grows up with a defensive attitude rather than with a loving attitude. Whereas if the parents teach their children, and some do, very few, but some do, they say, all the world loves a lover. And this is a beautiful world we're in. This is a world filled with joy and peace and harmony and goodness. This is a world of happiness. Oh, my, yes. And you say, Pollyanna, Pollyanna, go for it. Go for it. One thing that you'll find as you keep this youthful attitude, this attitude of joy, this attitude of liking yourself, you will not grow older. You will grow older in relationship to how much you like yourself. And if you don't like yourself, you get grouchier and grouchier and grouchier and grouchier until you roll up and disappear. That's what happens. Now, grouchy people, people who don't like themselves, do not have long lives. You say, well, some grouchy people sure live a long time. Well, let me ask you this question. Are they living? Mm-hmm. Are they happy people? Are they people finding joy at every turn in life? No. They should have rolled up their bodies a long time ago. But they're grouchy people. They have forgotten how to smile. They've forgotten how to find the joy. And perhaps there's some little angel that's going to come along in their life and reveal to them that there's love in there, there's joy in there. And what happens when the little angel, whether it's a dog or a cat or a child, or just a nice person, or maybe even an adult person with autistic problems or with other problems, you know, that you take a liking to and you say, I want to be a blessing to this person, you know. What happens? You start recognizing you have something to give, that you are a nice person. And then you start liking yourself, and you start liking yourself, and you start liking yourself. And the more that you like yourself, the younger you get. The more that you like yourself, the less you have attitudes of the aged. Now, attitudes of the aged will one day be gone. In the 1960s, from then to now, the lifespan has increased 30 years for the average human being. From 1960 to now, the lifespan has increased 30 years. Now, do you think it's going to stop?
No.
And is it increasing because medicine is better and because medication is better and pills are better and all that? No. It's increasing because people are starting to like themselves. People are starting to have great experiences about themselves. Now, in ancient times, and I don't mean that far, like back in the 1800s or 1900s, many people lived long lives. And every one of them, what was the thing that the family often said about them? They're in their second what?
Youth.
They're in their second childhood. They're in their second baby childhood. Because they are now undisturbed by things. They just go through life happy and joyous. They're not looking for trouble. They're not looking for things to take care of and to repair. They're just living happy, joyous, fantastic lives. Now, who are they who say they're living in their second childhood? These are people who want them to grow old and die so they can leave their money to the family. These are people who want them to grow old and die so that they will not be a burden on the younger generation to take care of them. In Social Security today, the articles in the magazines and the newspapers and the television, the articles all say the younger generation is going to have to pay for the senior generation who is living longer and longer lives, and the money that they have put into Social Security is not as beneficial and not as much as it should have been, you know. Well, what is that? They don't want them to grow older, because when they grow older, they'll have to take care of them. Mm-hmm. Now, why don't they just put some new causes in motion? New causes in motion to say, we live in a well-run, abundant universe, abundant society, abundant government. Now, we look at Arnold Schwarzenegger, the biggest klutz in the world. He has done everything successfully. He has spent a ball. He always thinks of himself as being young, and he's at least in his 50s or better, you know. Now, what did Arnold Schwarzenegger do? He came into California as the governor when the previous governor was kicked out because he couldn't balance the budget. He couldn't make ends meet. Well, what did Schwarzenegger do? He says, let's use my imagination. Let's have fun. Let's think young. Let's think fantastic ideas. And he came up with the most outstanding, amazing ideas in the world. And you know who backed him up on his thinking? Warren Buffett, the second richest man in the world. Now, if you have a man like that you can talk to about things, it might not be beneficial, you know, because Warren Buffett might be more conventional and he might be more conservative. But he got behind him some outstanding people who were thinkers, who were dreamers, and who were also geniuses in their field of budget finance and things like that. So now he is taking the state with a tremendous budget deficit, which is as big as the United States budget deficit was perhaps just a few years ago. And he is balancing it. The people don't dislike him. Some people find him hard to handle because he's such a happy man. And he likes himself so much, you know. He's got such a good image for himself, you know what I'm saying? That they can't handle that. These were the people in government who got the government in trouble in the first place. They made too many demands on the government, and the government tried to come up with paying for these things that it didn't have the income to pay for. But that's the way governments are run these days. They're run on a deficit budget. The United States owes more money than it'll ever make. You know that? And all the countries of the world are deeper in debt than any money that they could ever have come in to take care of it. And the Warren Buffetts and the Bill Gates, with their entire money, could not solve the problem for any country at any point. Because what would they do? They would just go and spend it and be deeper in debt. Because that's part of the game that they like to play. Now, we are saying here, growing up is mandatory, but growing old is optional. Growing old is when you cease to have the joy, the enthusiasm, the magic of young people. You cease to have the enthusiasm, the joy, and the magic of people who believe they can do anything. When you grow old, you start being more careful. You realize that if you fall down and break a bone, you could hurt yourself badly. When you're a kid, you fall down and break a bone, you heal it. It goes back in shape. But as an adult or as a senior adult, you want to be more careful. Now, why? Well, partly because it's true, and partly because it's what we've been taught, that our bones are more brittle as we grow older. Now, let's teach the thought that our bones are very supple, very strong, very well developed, and start thinking on that direction, and then start eating accordingly to this, and living accordingly to it. And maybe doing a little exercise every day, maybe doing a little bit of dancing and aerobics and whatever things you do. We walk the meditation path here on the campus, which is 3 miles long approximately. Every morning I walk it, and Ellen walks most of it every morning too. I don't know how far you go. And Sylvia, never. And Ingeborg, well, she walks a little bit. But the thing is, what's happening? As I walk this, I feel more and more alive, alert, and happy. And I say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I'm putting these beautiful thoughts into my consciousness, into my world. And I feel fine. I feel good. And I'm doing all the things that I'm supposed to be doing. I'm taking all the vitamins that I'm supposed to be taking that my food might not offer to me. I'm taking all the things that are beneficial to me. If my doctor says something to me, I do it. I don't argue about it, but I know I don't need it, because I'm the same with it as I am without it, you know, big deal. But that's okay. You see, this is what the game of life is all about. It's to be happy, to like yourself. And as you grow older, you don't have to lose all of the happiness of youth. You don't have to lose all of the ability of a young person to be vital, dynamic, and alive. That you lose only by forgetting who you are. You are a divine being. You are God incarnate. You are all of God. And don't go making excuses and saying, I'm a little bit of God. Because then you're saying that some of God is not present in you. And that's an impossibility. All of you is all of God. And all of God is all of good. And all of good is young and dynamic and forceful. And perhaps the word young is not the right word, but it's a generic term that we use for being full of energy and full of health and full of vitality. When Irene, who was dying of cancer, decided to live again and take her shriveled up body and rejuvenate it, the body did not become younger. It was still her 70 years old, and the body did not become with the skin of a teenager and all that sort of good stuff. But the mind had the attitude of a teenager. The mind had the attitude of a youthful, of a dynamic, forceful being. And the body lived up to what the mind had for it. And within several months after she changed her mind and wanted to live and rebuilt her body, she's back on the tennis court. Now, you see, we can do these things. Don't ever tell me that you can't do things and your doctor says you can't do things. Your doctor will never say that. Your doctor will say, get out of bed and walk. Today's doctor doesn't say you're going to need 6 months of recuperation of laying in bed. No. Today's doctor says, out, out. Not that you want to make room for another patient, but just out. You want to start building your own body, your own consciousness, your own youthfulness back again, your own vitality in yourself. So I say the same thing, and I live the same thing, and I do the same thing, and I have a most happy, wonderful, joyous life. Have a wonderful day, and know that you're the creator of your world, You're the creator of every experience that comes into your world, and every experience is wonderful if you make it so. I love you. I love you.
I love you.